Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to John chapter 11 as we look at the resurrection this morning. John 11 is a very familiar passage to us. In John 11, Jesus gets word that his friend Lazarus is sick. And once he hears that Lazarus is sick, he decides he's going to stay where he's at for a couple more days. He then makes it to Bethany and on his way there finds out that Lazarus is dead. And he arrives and he's greeted by Martha, the sister of Lazarus. And she, in her grief, comes to him and makes the statement, "Lord, if you were here, my brother would be here still too. He wouldn't be dead." And then she goes and she gets her sister Mary, and Mary comes out and she has the same response. "Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would still be alive." And we have probably every high schooler's favorite verse to memorize in this chapter. Jesus wept. It's a great verse to memorize. And when Jesus weeps, those who are around the crowd have two responses. Part of the response is, "Look how much Jesus loved Lazarus." And another response was basically what Mary and Martha had both said. If he loved Lazarus so much, he heals the eyes of blind strangers. Why couldn't he have healed his friends? And Jesus goes to the tomb where Lazarus is at and commands that the stone be rolled away from the door. And Martha stops him. She goes, "Jesus, he's been in there for 4 days. In 4 days, your body starts to decompose. It starts to rot." She goes, "Jesus, he stinketh. Don't open the door." And Jesus says, "No, open it up." And he goes and he prays and he thanks God for hearing him. And he prays and he commands Lazarus to come forth. And Lazarus comes out of the tomb. And in the midst of John chapter 11, there is a claim that Jesus makes that is extremely bold, in which he says in verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And Jesus makes the claim in this verse that he is the resurrection. And in John chapter 11, there's two simple truths that I would like for us to consider today. I know my job is to keep us here for another hour so the kitchen gets ready. I'm kidding, we'll be done much shorter than that because we all are hungry. But the first truth out of this passage I want us to consider is just the reality of suffering. We live in a world full of pain, full of suffering. In this passage, we see suffering. We see, first of all, there's physical suffering. Lazarus is ill. He gets sick. Word comes to Jesus that his friend is ill. Starting in the start of this chapter, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Now, John sets the stage for us. Lazarus is sick. It's not just the man flu. He is sick. He is ill. And we just see the compassion that is found in here. The one whom you love is sick, and the suffering is there. You know, I'm just thinking through this Easter season, how many friends we have who are battling with cancer. How many loved ones we have who are battling with dementia. or other diseases, who are ill, who are sick. The physical suffering is real, and it culminates in the death of Lazarus. But not only is there physical suffering, but there's emotional suffering. We see the grief. In verse 31, the Jews which were with her in the house and had comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, "She goeth to the grave to weep there." We saw Jesus wept. We live in a world that is filled not only with physical suffering, but emotional suffering, where there's loss, there's pain. But not only is there grief, we also see the emotional suffering of anger. And this is something that as I was preparing for today, just I've read this passage over and over, but digging into it just kind of came out in a way that I had not seen before. We see this twice in this passage, on verses 33 and 38. Verse 33, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, Mary, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." In verse 38, "Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it." And that word there, groaning, it's a sigh. You know, it's not the sigh where you've had a good, hard day of work and you go and you just collapse into the lazy boy and it's just... The word comes from a Greek word that literally means, or it refers to horses, meaning to snort with anger. Jesus, as he's groaning, isn't just sighing, "My friend is dead." But Jesus, as he is groaning, it's an angry groan. The word carries the idea of having an indignation. You know, Jesus isn't mad at Mary or Martha. He's not mad at the mourners. But Jesus is angry because he is face to face with really the manifestation of the kingdom of Satan, death. Satan's ultimate tool that he has to destroy God's creation is death. And Jesus is coming face to face with it. He is angry and troubled at the ravages of the great enemy of man, death. But he is not going to settle for this domination much longer. We see also the emotional suffering of just resignation. In verses 23 and 24, Jesus says unto Martha, "Thy brother shall rise again." And Martha saith unto him, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Yeah, I know that that's coming. But right now he's dead. There's nothing that can be done. But we see there is also spiritual suffering in this passage that we see in this world. And as on Wednesdays, we've been going through the book of Job. We go through suffering and we go through difficulties and we have that question of why, God, why are you allowing this to happen? We see this also in this passage, verses 21 and 22. Martha said unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus, if you would have been here, Jesus, I know you are the Son of God. You could have kept this from happening. But why? Mary, when she comes to Jesus a few verses later in verse 32, she fell down at his feet saying, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus, why did you wait? God, why?" We see this with the comforters in verse 37. Some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man Lazarus should not have died?" Why did Jesus, why did this miracle worker from God, why did God allow Lazarus to die? We live in a world still that is filled with suffering. And we're here this morning, and I don't know which suffering you're going through or struggling with right now. But as we see in the passage, Lazarus' death is not the end of his story. Because he is about to come face to face with the resurrection. Not only do we have the reality of suffering, but secondly, this morning, we have the hope of the resurrection. And the hope of the resurrection starts with the fact that the resurrection shows the glory and the power of God. When Jesus hears in verse 4 that Lazarus is sick, he says to his disciples, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." When Jesus gets word that his friend is sick, he delays, and his delay was not just because he didn't care about Lazarus. He didn't care about the suffering that Mary and Martha would go through. But the delay that Jesus had when he gets there, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. And Jewish tradition at that time believed that after 3 days, the soul was gone from the body. So when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, it's not what we would see today where if somebody were to have a heart attack and pass out and their heart would stop and they would be dead, but with CPR or using an AED would be able to resurrect them, bring them back. Jesus is waiting 4 days so that there is no other understanding but Lazarus is dead. In verse 11b, he says to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." You know, when we have brothers and sisters in Christ who die today, you know, they are sleeping. And we look forward to that day when Christ comes back for his own at the rapture, where they will be resurrected and we will be resurrected with them. We will be caught up together with them. In verses 25 and 26, the statement that Jesus makes, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." God will receive the glory. And in verse 40, Jesus turns to Martha and he says unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, that thou shouldst see the glory of God?" Martha, here's why I waited. Here's why I wasn't here. Because I want you to not just have the head knowledge that I am the Christ. I want you to not just have the head knowledge that God is glorious. Martha, I want you to come face to face with the glory of God, with the resurrection of your brother. The resurrection shows God's glory and power, but it also shows compassion. Jesus in this passage is concerned and seeking to divert Martha's focus from an abstract belief in a future resurrection that will take place to a personalized belief in him who alone can provide it. Just as Jesus not only gives the bread from heaven, but he himself is the bread of life, in this passage we see that Jesus not only raises the dead, but as we celebrate on Easter morning, he is himself the resurrection and the life. And Jesus is bringing this to Mary and Martha. He shows compassion when he sees her weeping and he sees the Jews weeping. He groans in the spirit. He gets frustrated with the fact that there is death and he's going to do something about it. Jesus wept and the Jews said, "Behold how he loved him." The resurrection of Lazarus shows the compassion that Christ has for those whom he loves. The resurrection of Lazarus also foreshadows the resurrection of himself. By raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus demonstrates his divine power over death and life itself. This miracle that he performs with Lazarus points to the fact that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior who has conquered death, which he demonstrates fully in his own resurrection. And it serves as a preview of his own resurrection. just a few weeks later. Just as Lazarus' restoration foreshadows the resurrection hope, Jesus' victory over death signals life for all believers. The promise that Jesus makes in verse 25, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." But this claim that Jesus makes in verses 25 and 26, the resurrection demands a response. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And when we quote the passage, that's often where we stop. But that's not where Jesus stops. As he's making this statement to Martha, he makes a very pointed question directly to her. "I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. The one who believes in me will live. Martha, do you believe this?" And that question that Jesus answered demands a response. Martha's response is very simple. "I believe that you are the Christ." But that claim that Jesus makes that he is the resurrection and the life, that question is still valid today, and it demands a response from each of us. It's not just that we have the head knowledge recognizing that Jesus has conquered the grave, but is this something that we truly believe? This is a life-altering claim. And after Lazarus is raised from the dead, there are really two options that the bystanders had. In verse 45, many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, they believed in him. "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" A good number of them did. But there's also another response. In verse 46, "But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done." In verse 53, "From that day forth, they," the Pharisees, "took counsel together for to put him to death." And we see in chapter 12 that the Pharisees are not only trying to find a way to put Jesus to death, but they're trying to find a way to put Lazarus to death as well. Because he's a living testimony for what Christ can do. We live in a world full of pain, full of suffering. Whatever that suffering that we're going through this morning, let's take comfort in the fact that Jesus is the resurrection. He is the one who has the power to do what he says, to give us the hope that we can have for all eternity. But we need to have the correct answer to that question. Do you believe this? I don't know if you're watching this morning or if you're here, if you've never done that, if you've never believed that claim by Christ, you've never put your faith and trust in him, today would be a great day to do that. But if you are, whatever suffering we're going through, take hope in your resurrection and your life. Father God, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that he came to this earth 2,000 years ago, that he died on the cross to take away our sins. But we thank you that he rose again the third day victorious over sin, death, and hell. Lord, there, as I look around this room, I recognize that there are those who have different physical things that they are suffering with, emotional things that they're suffering with, and some even questioning why. God, I pray that you would help each of us this morning to find our hope and our rest in you and your Son, who is our resurrection. Father, if there's one here who has not put their faith and trust in you, who does not believe that claim, that today would be the day of salvation for them. We ask these things in the name of your Son, our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.